Good afternoon and a warm welcome to everyone on behalf of Mega Life Sciences for today's earnings call. For today's session, we have with us our CEO, Mr. Vivek Dhawan, CFO, Mr. Thomas Abraham, Deputy CFO, Mr. Manoj Gurbuxani, Finance Director and Corporate Secretary, Ms. Sujintana, and myself, Francis Rego. For today's session, we'll have three steps. We'll start with the finance overview first, showing the synopsis of the financial performance for 1H26 and 2Q26, which will then be followed by guidance and overview from the CEO, and then we'll open the forum for Q&A. Before we move forward with the financial performance, I would like to mention a note which we had also shared with you during Q1 2026 call. This is about the implementation of the Thai accounting standard. So with the adoption of the Thai accounting standard 21, the effects of changes in foreign exchange rates, which we had adopted in 2026, the group has adopted this standard, and accordingly a market-based exchange rate for the Myanmar kyat against foreign currencies. The implementation of TAS 21 has no material impact on the net profit for 1H26. Accordingly, the 1H25 and 2Q25 financial statements have been restated, including the statement of profit and loss, balance sheet, and other comparative financial information. This has been done in order to ensure a meaningful comparison with 1H26 and 1Q26, and it has no impact on the overall profitability, and it is only for providing a meaningful analysis. So moving forward with 1H26 performance, driven by the strong double-digit growth in both Mega WeCare and Max Care business, which was supported by the continued improvement in operating conditions in Myanmar, the overall operating revenue in 1H26 was about 6.9 billion, which reflected a growth of 12.5% YOY. The brand's business revenue in 1H26 was about 4.6 billion, reflecting a growth of 11.9% on YOY basis. This was underpinned by continued strength of the product portfolio and sustained demand across key markets. The distribution business revenue in 1H26 was 2.07 billion, reflecting a growth of 11.3% on YOY basis. The growth in revenue reflecting continued improvement in operating conditions in Myanmar. On the geographical front, Southeast Asia continues to be dominant and has 73% share of the Mega WeCare business revenue. And during 1H26, it posted a very strong, steady growth. Africa and Latin and the rest of the world continue to show strong double-digit growth during 1H26. On gross profits, the overall gross profits in 1H26 improved to 52% of operating revenue as compared to 50.5% of operating revenue in 1H25, primarily driven by improved margins in both businesses. The branded business gross margins remained healthy and improved to 65.3% in 1H26, as against 63.7% in 1H25. The gross margins of Mega WeCare business, as we always mention, are influenced by revenue growth, product mix, country mix, currency mix, and level of output, amongst other factors. The distribution business gross margins improved to 23.9% of the operating revenue in 1H26, as against 22.4% of the operating revenue in 1H25. Gross margins of distribution business are influenced by principal mix, amongst several other factors. On the SG&A side, SG&A expenses were about 2.3 billion, reflecting an increase of 11.1% on YOY basis. The increase in SG&A is in line with planned spending and aligned with the overall business growth and strategy. SG&A expenses as a percentage of operating revenue decreased slightly from 33.4% in 1H25 to 33% in 1H26. EBITDA in 1H26 came in at about 1.6 billion as against 1.2 billion in 1H25, an increase of 33.8% YOY due to the strong growth in both Mega WeCare and MaxCare businesses in 1H26 and supported by gross margin expansion. The reported net profits in 1H26 were about 1.1 billion as against 841 million in 1H25. Reported net profits increased by 33.1% for reasons explained above. Operating cash flow for 1H26 was Thai baht 848 million, which represented 76% of reported net profit with the lower cash conversion compared to earlier periods, primarily reflecting a planned increase in inventory levels to support anticipated demand in the upcoming quarters. In 1H26, about $254 million was invested in tangible assets, mainly driven by spending towards manufacturing plants in Indonesia, Vietnam, Thailand, and Australia, and towards acquisition of 100% stake in the JV company with the objective of acquiring land in Myanmar for building manufacturing facilities in Myanmar. Moving forward to 2Q26 performance, driven by high single-digit growth in Mega WeCare business and continued improvement in the operating conditions of Myanmar, it resulted in double-digit growth in MaxCare business. Overall revenue in 2Q26 was at $3.5 billion, which reflected a growth of 10.7% YOY. Brands business revenue in 2Q26 was $2.3 billion, reflecting a growth of 7.7% on YOY basis, again underpinned by continuous strength of the strong product portfolio and sustained demand across key markets. Distribution business revenue in 2Q26 was at $1.07 billion, posting a growth of 14.8% on YOY basis, again reflecting continued improvement in the operating conditions in Myanmar. Overall gross profits in 2Q26 improved to 51.7% of operating revenue as compared to 49.7% of operating revenue in 2Q25, primarily driven by improved margins in both businesses. The branded business gross margins remained healthy and improved to 64.4% in 2Q26, as against 62.5% in 2Q25. The gross margins of Mega WeCare business are influenced by revenue growth, product mix, country mix, and level of output amongst other factors. The distribution business gross margins improved to 25.8% in 2Q26, as against 21.4% in 2Q25. The gross margins of distribution business are influenced by principal mix amongst other factors. SG&A expenses were $1.23 billion, an increase of 15.6% on a YOY basis, reflecting planned higher spending to support continued growth of business. As a percentage of operating revenue, SG&A expenses increased to 35% in 2Q26 against 33.5% in 2Q25, reflecting the timing of SG&A spending, which is always not incurred evenly across different quarters. SG&A expenses are expected to resume back to normal levels on the full year basis and should taper down to around 32 to 33% of operating revenue on a full year basis. EBITDA in 2Q26 came in at 745 million baht as against 593 million baht in 2Q25, an increase of 25.5% YOY due to strong growth in both Mega WeCare and MaxCare businesses supported by gross margin expansion. The reported net profits in 2Q26 were $515 million as against $391 million in 2Q25. The reported net profit increased by 31.6% YOY due to reasons explained earlier. To summarize, with strong double-digit growth in both Mega WeCare and MaxCare segments and margin expansion across both segments, the EBITDA and net profit has grown in strong double digits, which is as per guidance. And as always, our balance sheet continues to remain a net cash balance sheet. May I now request our CEO, Mr. Vivek Dhawan, to share his remarks and guidance for 2026.
Thank you, Francis. Sawasdeekrap, everybody. I'm Vivek here. I think Francis has given you a fair run of what's happened in the first half and the last quarter. You've seen brands growing at a rate of 11.9% on a year-to-year basis. And distribution also has picked up. Largely, you know, distribution is Myanmar and there has been growth with availability of stocks, etc., depending on the conditions. So distribution has also been seeing an uptick, at least in not only in Myanmar, but other countries as well. Going forward, if you look at the future, we still see a healthy growth in our branded business as we have presented, and it should continue. Some low double-digit growths in the branded business. We expect that to carry on. With the existing products largely in hand, we have launched in the first half some 9 unique products, and we say new, unique, not the same line extensions. And we have a further plan to launch some 18 unique products in the remaining period of 26. Though the new products don't make up a very large part of our business, but they will create future opportunities going forward in the next few years to come. We have 80 products in pipeline, unique products, which we hope to launch over the next few years to come. Already launched in the past year, we launched some 80 new products in the last 4 years. So going forward, we have a new pipeline of over 100 products under development. So that's been our strategy in the drug area, in the category that we are involved in. We have a good pipeline to carry forward and build on the categories we are present in. And in the over-the-counter or in the supplement business, as we call consumer health business, we are expanding and growing the existing categories we are already there in, present in. So both these activities in the countries where we are present, today we are, Southeast Asia is still the largest part of our business. And Africa and Latin America are doing well. They have started to grow at much faster rates. We have presence in Africa and the larger markets, as you would know, are Nigeria, Ghana, Tanzania, Uganda, Kenya, Ethiopia. So they are the big ones. The other ones are small. So they constitute largely the main parts of the African business. And then we have Peru, Colombia that are also growing reasonably well. And we continue to do business in Ukraine and Uzbekistan as well. Uzbekistan is new, and we are developing that market for the future. Southeast Asia is every market where we are present in all of them directly, except Singapore and Brunei and Laos. And the rest, we are also progressing very well with our plans. Our manufacturing plants, as you have been informed earlier, is Indonesia, where we have a plan to get to $50 million by 2030. It's progressing well, both local manufacturing and imported product that we are bringing in to then later move to local manufacturing. So both these activities are ongoing. The plant expansion is nearly complete. We hope to start the warehouse next month. And the plant should be ready to go in the first quarter next year. So that's the Indonesian plan. Vietnam, the plant building has started. Work has begun. And we hope to complete the plant on time. Objective plant completion time is 15 months plus the rest of the other thing, the GMP approval product, which is its own time frame. It's a 3-year project, so it'll take approximately 3 years' time before we see commercial production happening. Meanwhile, in Myanmar, we have signed the agreement, the land deal sign, etc., has been done. Design is done, is in progress, and we hope also to begin construction in the next 3 months' time. We are planning that we should begin in the 3 months' time. So everything else is on track. Manufacturing in Myanmar, Vietnam, Australia plant is progressing very well, and we continue to deliver for our brands from Australia and even supply the local market. So that's the manufacturing side, product development side, and the countries that we are present in. And looking at all these activities that are going on, we are on track to deliver as we have confirmed, explained to you our strategy in the last quarter, that we plan to double our branded business. Over the next 5 years, by 2030, we are still on track to do so. And we are working in that direction to make sure that happens. Overall, our business today, largely, I think that when you say complementary medicine, supplement, nutraceuticals, or consumer health business is about 50%. You add over-the-counter self-medication, it probably becomes a bit bigger, about 65%. The remaining 30 to 40% is pure prescription, Rx prescription, or pharmaceutical healthcare, as Mega, we define it, pharmaceutical product. So that's the ratio we are in. It'll probably remain around that 50-50 in that range going forward. So that's our branded business model, and distribution is largely three countries, Myanmar, Cambodia, and Vietnam. Cambodia still has continued problems as we have, but I think the decline has now stabilized, and whatever had to come down has come down from the Thai product side, because we also have a large range of products. We are not only made in Thailand. So we will continue to do business there, and I believe in the future things will look better in Cambodia. But that's a situation everybody knows, and it's not beyond our control. That's the Cambodia situation. Other than that, I do not see any other serious issues to talk about at the moment. We remain confident that we'll deliver our results for 2026. Now, I would request that we can take questions and answer questions if there's nothing else. So if you have questions, as you say, please tell us your name, your organization, and we'll try and answer all your questions as well as we can in the next 20, 30 minutes that we have. Thank you. Over to you.
Vasu, you can ask your question, please.
Thank you, Kunmanoj. And thank you for the presentation. I have two questions. The first one is about the gross margin in 2027. Since Khun Vivek mentioned that the new facility in Indonesia will be completed in the first quarter of next year, and it should take some time to ramp up the utilization of the new facility. And my question is, like, how much impact should we expect in terms of the negative impact on the gross margin for the branded business in 2027? So that's my first question.
Impact on gross margins with the new facilities coming up, because they will be underutilized for some time. And that's going to be true for all our new facilities, because in the pharma business, you do have what we call a time to get approval, GMP, product registration. They take time, and their full utilization takes anywhere between after approval to 2 to 3 years till they become And operationally, because you are buying the same product from outside, there's no change in operational margin. But depreciation will be there. That'll be number one, and there'll be some pre-operative cost that we have to incur over the period while the production is low. But looking at the growth overall that we have from the branded business, and it's also not all of it is being produced there locally, right? So growth in the branded business should take care of the additional operational expenses and still achieve that profitability that we have presented. So we do not see the bottom line getting impacted, but depreciation definitely with these three sides coming in. Because you get 2 years of pre-operative expenses, right? From the time the plant gets ready, and you get 2 years by the time before you start registration, development batches, GMP approvals, and you get your first launch. So that's when actual production starts. So first 2-3 years will be pre-operative expensive. That'll get amortized. Sorry, Manoj.
Yeah, and generally we have been guiding gross margin in the range of 63% to 65%, in that range. We should be remaining in that range, in spite of Indonesian facility getting operational next year.
Okay, that's clear. Thank you. And my second question is regarding the quarterly trend of the SG&A expenses. Since in Q2, you mentioned that the jump in SG&A was largely due to the timing of the spending, can I expect the SG&A to drop significantly Q on Q in Q3 before rising Q on Q in Q4 due to seasonal factors?
I think the SG&A is related to a business, and sometimes if you have advertisements and things going on, some of this is pre-paid or done like that. But I think overall our SG&A is growing in line with our growth in business, right? So SG&A, sales team, sales cost, promotion expenses, all these are in line with the sales growth. It's not very far away with growth in sales.
I think quarter to quarter might not always reflect a clear, you know, indication. I think on a full year basis, as we have mentioned a little while earlier, we should be looking at around 32 to 33% of operating revenue as the SG&A for the full year. Some quarters could be higher or lower.
And if at that rate, Kun Vasu, the SG&A growth will be marginally lower than the revenue growth on a full year basis. So that's what we're expecting the second half and the full year to look like. Thank you.
I want to make sure I heard you correctly, Kun Manoj. You are saying yes. That for the full year basis, SG&A should be growing at a slower pace than revenue?
Yeah. So if the SG&A is at the rate of 32-33%, the growth in the SG&A expense on a YOY basis will be marginally lower than the growth in the revenue. That's right.
Okay. Thank you. That's clear. That's all my questions. Thank you.
Kun Setapong, maybe request you. You can ask your questions, please.
I'm Setapong from Gesigons. So I would like to ask about the Mega WeCash. As the Southeast Asia still account about the around 70% of the Mega WeCash revenue in the first half, but it still grow about the 5% for the restate. So the other remaining, the incremental revenue will come from the other market. So my question is that for the Mega WeCare to sustain the double-digit growth in the second half of this year, so what needs the re-accelerate in the Southeast Asia? And could you quantify the expected growth range and the key country and the product diverse by the region?
I think if you take away Cambodia, the Southeast Asia growth is in the range of 8%, 7.9%,
8%.
So it's not very far away, 8%, and we're talking about higher single digit, you know, mid, low single, double digit growth. So Africa, Latin America, some other countries are growing faster, and we will see a little bit more growth in Southeast Asia as well in the second half. Because of many reasons, Southeast Asia at the beginning year, you have Tet, you have this, you have holidays, you have a lot of other impacts in Southeast Asia, which doesn't happen in the second half. So, and second half, if you see historically, also in what, 55-45? So there's a little bit more business in the second half in most years. So we should see a little bit improvement in Southeast Asia as well. Plus the other markets continue, they continue to grow. We should be able to deliver that low double-digit growth in the second half.
Okay, all right, that's clear. Okay, thank you very much, Kap.
Thank you.
Yes, Mr. Andrew, you can go ahead with the question.
Mr. Andrew, you're on mute.
Please. Yeah, sorry. I just get the mute button off. Just want to clarify that comment. Did you say that overall you expect low double-digit growth for Mega WeCare in the second half?
Can we request the other participants to please mute themselves?
Should I repeat the question?
Yes.
Sorry, you just said you expect overall low double-digit growth. Is that for Mega WeCare or overall for the second half?
Yes.
Was that just referring to Latin America and Africa?
Yes, correct. All across Mega WeCare branded business, we did 11.9% in the first half. We believe and we are confident that we should be in that 11, 10 to 12% range in the second half. It's low double-digit growth, which is slightly higher than our plan for the branded business over the next 5 years. But yes, that's the plan, and it's coming from Africa, Latin America, and Southeast Asia being the three largest parts of our business.
And I just wanted to expand on the Africa and Latin American bit in terms of what is driving. Obviously, you've got very strong growth in the last quarter or two. What is driving that?
I think it's both pharma and consumer health. Pharma is also growing strongly. We have a lot of products in the market, and we are concentrating very heavily on consumer health, which we've been doing for a long time. We have built a mega WeCare brand. If you travel from Ghana, Accra, Kumasi, everywhere you go, you'll find GoFen, Normagut, a lot of products that we have, NetBee, among the other ones in UDCA, Livolin. So we have a large consumer health portfolio and a very nice, tailored, not just the cheap antibiotics and other drugs in Africa, but we have also the newer drugs that we are bringing to the market and building a new category and creating new categories also in the African market. That's one. Latin America also, we continue in Peru with new launches and going out and reaching out to new segments other than pharmacy. They've also started clinic and hospital business. So there's the doctor cabinets. So I think these are all different things that we are doing, expanding our what you call area, expanding the, not the territory, but expanding the segments that we are in and the target market as well. Combined, we are seeing results in these, because they were also at a low base. It takes time in the country to build brands. So over time, as you continue doing it regularly, you see better results, and some do better than the others. So I think Africa is seeing a better result. Latin America, anyway, if you look around the world, you see the Latin American stock market, Latin American countries, growth in the countries are better than most of the other regions. So Latin overall is performing relatively better than other regions. Africa also, after a downturn in the countries where we are, and Nigeria had a very bad run, but I think things have started to look better after they took some measures, austerity measures, and bought the country on track a little bit with no subsidies on oil and things like that. So it's a bit better than before, but still a long way to go. And I think still a long way to go. There is still a lot of potential. We have a very long game in Africa. We think with the kind of population, there is 800 million over people in the territories we are in. If things get better, mega, and we can build the right brand, in the next 5 years' time, we should see a lot more happening from those territories.
Okay. And then just one last question for me. Just on Myanmar itself, obviously the sales have picked up and the margins are, I suppose, at record highs. Is this down to, I suppose, competitors pulling out? What is driving that, and is it sustainable?
I think in the distribution business, it's a product mix, right? Depends on which principle we handle, where we have stocks for. But the average, it doesn't vary over the years. I think we are in the same, like
22 to 25%.
So in that range, so this quarter may be a little bit better. But yeah, with the availability, funds availability get better, you get it, and you can import product. But largely it's pharma, majority. Consumer health is a little bit not as easier. Plus also you've got local principals there who are locally producing and we're handling them as well. So that's also helping a distribution. A, B, pharma, some licenses for pure pharmaceuticals have improved. That also increased distribution. So with that happening, I think we're seeing some growth in distribution and the margins are better. When we are importing and doing it from here, then the margins are different. If you're buying locally, there are some companies have started local production as well. So that's also, you've got some local partners as well in the country where we offer services. So that's the distribution side, branded. Again, availability and product that we have, our products are old, established and have been around for a while. So with that, if you see quarter to quarter, if there's stocks available, Burma does better because there is still demand. I mean, demand hasn't grown because as a country, GDP hasn't grown, the source of income hasn't grown. So all this has put pressure in real growth, but there is still demand in that population there where mega is present. So, and we still continue to, if we can get stocks, we can still continue to deliver.
Okay.
That's where you're seeing growth.
Okay, thanks.
Do we have any other questions? So if there are no other questions, then we would like to thank each one of you and close this call. In case you have any other questions, please feel free to contact myself, Kun Manoj or Kun Sujintana, and we'll be more than happy to answer your questions after this call. Anytime you can call us. So thank you, everyone. Thanks a lot for joining today's call.
Thank you. Thank you. Adi khab. Kapu bang la khab.